goodness. Welcome to the premiere episode of Watchmen.
Yeah.
The 82 podcast.
Love it.
Didn't know we was hitting you with, you didn't know that the crew from the established 1982 podcast, Black Lightning, the 82 podcast,
yes.
Naomi, the 82 podcast, was going to come with it and hit you with Watchmen.
Yes, sir.
The 82 podcast.
Yep.
And after having watched that first episode, we are so glad that we decided to do it. We being one Wally, get off my lawn and log, and Mr. 1%, the resident elitist Rolls Royce Elite.
Yes, sir.
This show was a must. Yes. Now, if you are a follower of the Established 1982 podcast, you may have heard an episode where I mentioned that I had not seen the Watchmen movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then another episode where I revealed that I actually went back and watched it in time for this show, this wonderful show.
Mm-hmm.
on HBO. And I'm so glad that I did. And man, boy, this show here, I got to work after having watched it. Everybody watched it. I'm talking about women, men. I'm talking about everybody. Mm-hmm. Was talking about this show. And so we are so glad to be one of the conduits through which reviews and opinions, yeah, can be delivered to the public about this Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
So what say you before we begin, Mr. 1%, about this first episode of the Watchmen? Do you care to give anyone a little background in the event that they were like me up until recently and didn't know anything about Watchmen?
Yeah. Well, to put it simply, the show takes place after the events, and depending on the way you look at it, let's just say the events of the actual graphic novel.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah. You can watch the movie. The movie is a close, mm-hmm, adaptation,
mm-hmm,
only until it gets to the ending.
Right.
I won't spoil it for anybody, but mm-hmm, they changed the ending, mm-hmm, so it makes sense to the viewers.
That's right.
Yeah, because the ending in the book is a little weird, and we'll touch on that a little bit.
Because you almost have to when you highlight one of the instances in the show.
Exactly, mm-hmm, exactly. So, mm-hmm, man, there's so much to say about this show.
I know. Where do you start, man?
This
world is completely different. It's modern day,
right,
but nothing what you're familiar with right
Well,
now.
Let me put it into the context of the graphic novel or the movie, whichever one somebody choose to. I mean, you could watch either one and, mm-hmm, and be able to follow along.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't want to read, so hey, watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want to read.
You get a lot more. You get a lot more content when you read, though.
Exactly, mm-hmm, exactly. So, the Watchmen, the graphic novel, took place during 1985,
mm-hmm,
and it was an alternate universe where Nixon was never impeached,
mm-hmm,
and he continued to be president. There was no term limits.
So he just rode that thing out
on the presidency. So he wrote that out, and he's the leader of the free world to this point. Mm-hmm. Sounds eerie, doesn't it? So the Watchmen examines. Well, you examine the superheroes that, like, rose in the 50s and the 60s,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and then they went away,
mm-hmm,
and they were called the Minutemen.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the new group called the Watchmen that consisted of Ozymandias,
mm-hmm,
Silk Spectre,
the comedian,
Rorschach, the comedian,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and Night Owl. Already said it.
Okay, you did. Okay, you
said Spectre.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so
Night Owl. Yep.
The novel follows them, and it's an examination of the superhero genre, but it's also putting a mirror up to society and showing that human nature, just showing the flaws of human nature. We can have good intentions, but we always find a way to mess it up, either by lying or doing wrong or by selfish means, myriad of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book, and the reason I'm going into detail is because this show is going to have so many different layers and so many different parallels. So I want to paint the picture that the graphic novel that this is inspired from, it's paralleling the real world and politics and all the things that are happening in society, mm-hmm. racism, classism, mm-hmm. all this stuff.
Yep.
And then they're also examining the superhero where, okay, they're supposed to be the example of morality and saving the world and all this stuff. But when you really look at their lives, it's like, no, they're like everybody else.
Yeah.
These superheroes that we raise up, mm-hmm. or any politician that you raise up to be the hero or the savior.
Right.
Mm?
Yeah. Get ready for a letdown.
Right. Right. So, and I failed to mention, and this is blasphemous. Mm. Is part of the Watchmen.
Dr. Manhattan.
And that is the chess piece that all of this surrounds, because Dr. Manhattan, he's pretty much a godlike being.
Yeah, there's no fading.
Right. His name was Dr. John Osterman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was studying these intrinsic fields. And he got caught in the intrinsic field chamber, and it basically shattered all of his atoms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from some miracle of nature, he was able to reassemble himself. And by doing that, that allowed him to have this wealth of
godlike power. Yes.
Right, this godlike power, because mm-hmm. he was able to reassemble his body that just got shot right. over the universe.
Right.
Pretty much all of his atoms got spread out all mm-hmm. over the mm-hmm. all of the universe, and he was able to bring them back. So to have that ability to do that, he has the ability to do a lot of things.
Yeah, he's like the most.
So long story short, he becomes the chess piece for good or bad in The Watchmen, and he plays a role in the show. So anyway, that's my long-winded answer. But to set it up, because that book is a literary masterpiece.
Yeah.
Like, it changed the game in terms of graphic novels
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to the point where they were like, yeah, DC has to put out a movie.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen the movie, check out the movie. I mean, they were meticulous about, you know, sticking to detail and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And there's stories within a story in the movie and in the graphic novel. There's
the Black Freighter.
There's a Black Freighter that gets intercut, and you're like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we?
I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, but it paints a picture of what's happening in the story. And then there were these excerpts that would come out with every issue, which were pages from a book called Under the Hood, which was from the original Night Owl, the Night Owl from the 50s. Mm. He retired, and he was basically explaining, like, well, this is what we did when we were fighting crime back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
This like is why I retired. Kind of. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, setting all that up, check out Watchmen, the graphic novel,
mm-hmm.
or check out the movie.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you have time for.
Yes, right. And then jump to this show.
Yeah.
Because this show is borrowing a lot of things from the graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
And makes little hints to the movie as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And you would do yourself a favor to do one of the two.
Exactly. Right?
Like the book, because I'm so glad. I haven't gotten a chance to look at the book, but I did watch the movie because I felt like I could do that faster
mm-hmm.
before the show started. And
right.
I probably will go back and get that book though. Real talk, but so
meant to put the book here, but we got Black Lightning. He's joining
Black
us
Lightning.
For the
podcast. Yeah, man, Black Lightning. Don't forget to miss don't miss that Black Lightning podcast that we put out.
Yeah, we just recorded that one. So
yeah, man. Yeah, so yeah, but so when the show was announced. As HBO always does, they kind of give you an idea of some of the things they're going to touch on. They're not afraid to, not spoil, but kind of give you something to look forward to. And they mentioned,
look, that, you paying your subscription dollars. We need you to.
You know, we owe you this much, and we know that you trust us to give you quality. Because HBO, they don't bring no mess. They come to your front door with the real.
Mm-hmm.
And so they revealed that they were going to, like, make the Tulsa race riot a focal point of the show. To which we said, whoa, what?
Yes.
So you mentioned the 50s. You know?
Correct.
They went back farther to set this new, this new show up. So Tulsa Race Riot. Now, this is something that has been, for the most part, erased from the history books because it's
bad.
Yeah, man. I mean, slavery was bad. Like, let's not understate that.
Yes.
This right here, man,
is worse. Now, under the guise of freedom, we're still going to kill you.
We're still going to kill you. Black Wall Street, ladies and gentlemen, was an area in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that consisted of a community of it was literally Wakanda.
Yes, it was 20 to 30 blocks.
20 to 30 blocks of black businesses.
Homes. Movie theaters. Restaurants.
Dentist office, doctors, all that.
Yes.
An entire community. Literally Wakanda, y'all. Literally Wakanda in 1921.
Imagine.
Without the technology. But literally that. Just black people just getting it in, putting in work, succeeding, you know, irrespective of what they had just, you know, had gone through in terms of slavery, you know, pulling themselves up by the bootstraps, as a lot of people like to say.
Correct.
They did that.
And must I mention, contributing to the American economy.
That's correct. That's correct. That dollar I'll stayed right in their community. Now, right. Racist white people didn't like it. So, what they decided to do was just launch an all-out assault and massacre and kill and dive and bomb with biplanes. Like, you read, those of us that were privy to that knowledge, because like I said, they tried to sweep it under the table.
Right. You know something? I didn't hear about this till I got to college.
Yeah.
It was not taught.
Nope.
Not taught in.
They don't want that. They figured, you know about slavery. That's bad enough. Let's not talk about how we further set back the black community from a socioeconomic and psychological level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And, now, and must I mention too, and not to like labor the point, but that fact alone is why we can't get ahead as a nation.
Yeah.
We're not educating ourselves. Like, these are mistakes that we made in the past.
Let's not continue to make them.
Right.
Right. Yes. On any level.
Correct.
Now, like I said, I was like you.
Right.
I didn't know about this until late. And you feel kind of bad, but it's not your fault.
Correct.
It's society trying to, you know, like I said, sweep that on the rug and hide it. You know, nobody likes a mirror but ugly people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, nobody hates a mirror but ugly people is what I meant to say. So the scenes, they depicted this. Like when you hear about it, you're thinking, man, that must have been pretty bad. But when you see it play out, and HBO got the dollar to make it look like you, man, it's worse.
I'm getting chills. It's
worse
than
you imagine. I'm talking about people getting drugged by horses, you know what I'm saying? And biplanes bombing and Molotov cocktails and just gunning people down in the street while they're running. And man, it was crazy. I'm talking about babies.
The kid.
Nobody. Women, children.
The kid holding the baby, the dead baby, man, was that. Bruh, that got me. That
listen,
got me.
Listen.
Yeah, that got me.
And so I'm sitting there like, right. So I shared this with Rose, man, in a text message. You know, we go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was recently at a family reunion. My family reunion on my mom's side. And like the patriarch of our family now, the oldest, living with my uncle Robert. He wanted to start a thing where every family reunion we would discuss our history and try to learn more about our family. And and this was the first of its kind, this kind of meeting and discussion and, mm-hmm. and education about our family history.
And that's a great thing. Yeah. I might I add.
Yeah.
Because yeah, to get that we learned a lot, passing man. Down
yeah.
of history.
Right.
Family history.
Right. So my granddaddy, man, he first of all, a little bit of history about my granddaddy. My granddaddy was like the first dude to ever work in an automobile manufacturing plant in Mississippi.
Right.
Like he was a mechanic.
Right.
But they made him work in the back because they didn't want the white people to see him working on the cars in the right. front. So they had to put him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But his dad was actually believed to have been murdered in the Tulsa. So his family, my granddaddy's family, his brothers and sisters and his dad and his mom lived in Tulsa. Right. And so my uncle said that, you know, they moved from Tulsa immediately after that because there was like no more record of my granddad and my great granddad after that. But they lived in Tulsa then.
Wow.
And so they moved to where I know my family to have originated from in mm-hmm. Columbus, Mississippi. The mom, my great grandmom, never shared that with her kids. She didn't want to explain or try to, she didn't want to say. They just kind of said he just went away. You know what I'm saying? As to spare them the trauma. You know what I'm saying? But it's after having traced it back and kind of, I guess, connecting the dots and, you know, 1+1 kind of
right,
deal.
Right.
It's believed that he died in a Tulsa. It's just like crazy because when he said that, I'm sitting there like, man, for real? Because and like I said, it's not like completely fact, but he was saying there's no other explanation. There's no other explanation than that. They have no record of his existence after that.
Right.
After having lived in Tulsa. So when I was watching that, I'm thinking, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
I'm sorry to hear that first off, because that's terrible.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine how psychologically damaging that is. You live in a town
mm-hmm.
post-slavery.
Mm-hmm. You think they're all good.
Where, you know, they're using land, that whole concept of, and we'll touch on this, 40 mm-hmm. acres and a mule.
40 acres.
But they didn't get that. But they worked, pulled themselves up by the bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
The American dream, right?
Right. Nightmare.
And that gets stripped away because, and psychologically, it's like, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get too far now.
Mm-hmm.
Or this will happen.
Doing too much.
You're doing too much.
Right. And so now it's we can't, even if we can build up, let's not.
Right.
Because this is what can happen. Because they can come in anytime they want.
I can see the damage today.
And not be held accountable for it.
Correct.
You can just do it and it's okay. You know?
Right.
And, you know, even now, people are doing stuff and getting away with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it kind of struck me a little bit when I watched that because, you know.
Kind of sounds like somebody can walk into Times Square and shoot somebody and nobody will do anything about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just somebody in their own home.
Yeah. That echoes something to me. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Want to point that out.
Watchmen echoes
yes.
a lot of what's going on. And
right.
that was the opening.
Right.
A little boy, a young boy, man, couldn't have been no more than five or six.
Yeah, man.
Little kid was snatched out of a theater where he's watching a silent film, which ironically the silent film depicted a crooked white person being brought to justice by the righteous black sheriff.
Which is odd.
Crazy. So you see that.
Yes, but we're in the universe of the Watchmen, which is an alternate universe.
Yes, and a universe. And we'll get into some of the things when we start talking about the modern day that is just crazy. So all this is going on. The dad runs in, hey, grabs the son out. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. We got to get you out of here. So the parents are insistent on getting him out.
Right.
Just him.
Yes.
It was almost like some Kal-El.
Krypton. I thought the same thing.
It was like, we got to get him out of here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they put a little note in, watch this boy.
Right.
You know?
The acting from the dad.
It was just like.
The acting from the dad got me.
Like Jor-El.
Right.
Yeah.
When he put him in a box and he closed it up. Well, he didn't. Before he closed it, he said, let me look at him one more time. Yeah. I want to soak this in.
Yep. Yeah, yep. And then just.
And he didn't cry. He just. Nope. He read it all in his face. Like, yeah. I'm sad.
This has to be done. It has to be done. Because we're not going to make it.
Right.
We're not going to make it.
Right.
And so they riding off, I guess, in like a little stagecoach kind of horse and buggy thing.
Right. And bullets are grazing.
Bullets are flying in the box. And the dude, the little boy, when a bullet hole comes in, he proceeds to then look through the bullet hole.
Right.
To see what's going on.
And a biplane bombs. And
so you see the planes. Dude, they got planes. It wasn't enough to just come in on horseback with guns. They got planes and bombed the joint, man. Right. Like, they were real serious about laying that flat. Real, like, scorched earth.
Right.
And it happened like that, y'all. It happened. You know, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, it happened. And the writers of this show and producers and HBO, whoever, wanted to let everybody know, while this is a fictional program, understand that this happened.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And it has ramifications today. You know what I mean?
So, and the way it was written, it's like, okay, yes, this was an alternate universe, but black people did that, like you said, in real history, yeah, that actually happened. So, black people did overcome at a certain point.
Yes.
Right.
They did.
In that small section of town.
Yep. Yep. That is exactly right.
In the city of Tulsa.
Yes. So now the horse and buggy that the kid rode out on, man, didn't even make it out because we see a scene where it's been turned over and it's like it's night.
Apparently something happened with the buggy.
Yeah.
And one of the people that were riding that was leading the buggy was shot.
You can see it.
Right.
And so but there was nothing left but him, and he kind of crawled out of the box. I guess they were left for dead because they didn't think to look in the box.
Right.
And so he got out, and then they didn't know that there was a baby, too. Man. A baby. But the baby is alive. So the little man goes and grabs the baby. Now, this little dude was terrified at first. But then, he just kind of looked around him thinking, well, I guess I'm that dude now.
Right.
Let's grow up.
He looked at the note first
and
said, take care of this boy.
Yeah, watch this.
Well, there's nobody to take care of me.
Right. So I'm that dude now, but I'll take care of this baby. So he picked up this baby and just started walking down this road in Tulsa. And he turned around and all you see is just fire on the horizon from as far as you can see from one side of the screen to the other. It's just fire.
Right.
And nothing. And he's just standing there holding the baby. And
can I make a point?
Yeah.
This didn't just happen. Now, it happened to this magnitude in Tulsa, but this happened in pockets of the country.
Yeah.
Like Pulaski. Mm-hmm. There was mass murder of African Americans in Pulaski. And and this was earlier, like in the 1800s.
That's the home of the Klan.
Right.
That's the home of the Klan, Pulaski,
right.
Tennessee. That is the birthplace of the Klan.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go there.
Right. Make sure your gas is full.
Full.
Yeah, if you're driving through there.
Shoot through Pulaski.
Right.
So, you know, he's walking down the road and they cut to. It's funny because then they show the road and then it transforms from 1921 to modern day on the same
2019
road.
And they made a point to say this is 2019.
This is 2019.
Right. September 18th, 2019.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And so they're showing the same road he's walking down. It's paved now.
Right.
But before it was, you know, gravelly and stuff. Yes. But now it's paved, but it's the same road. But then there's stuff off to the side. It shows the development of the city of Tulsa. Correct. But right. He's driving down. But now this car comes driving down the road.
Blasting.
Which is interesting. Blasting some rap. Gangsta. Yes.
And I said, okay, the black okay, person.
The black.
Nope.
White dude. White dude listening to some gangsta rap.
Drinking some scissor.
Drinking something because he knew when he got pulled over.
Right.
By the police, which was black police.
Correct.
That he better do something about his open container. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be, you know, open container. Even in the alternate universe, driving with an open container.
Correct.
It's a no-no.
Right.
And the interesting thing to note about this traffic stop is that the white person begins going through the exercise of things that you must do as a black person,
right?
When pulled over by the police, there's protocol. Now, to all our white fans out there,
yes,
we feel because we love everybody, we love all our fans,
absolutely,
and we want to enlighten you to those things that you may not be privy to, knowledge wise.
Correct.
There's protocol.
It passed down to children.
Yes.
Now, my father taught me the protocol.
There's protocol.
When cops pull.
No sudden movements.
Yes. 10 and 2 on the.
Eyes forward. Hands on the wheel.
10 and 2.
Move slowly when asked to move.
Correct.
And be respectful.
Yes.
There's rules to this.
Right. There's no popping off at the mouth.
None of that.
No cursing at the police.
None of that.
I've seen the opposite where.
Don't even express any form of
disrespect.
Frustration. Keep your face straight.
Right.
At all time.
Right.
That's the rule.
Yes.
For those of you that may not be aware. Some of you are. But for those that are not. That's the protocol. The white guy in the show here engaging in a protocol.
Right.
And if you're going to, and if you're going to do something, you announce it.
Sir, I need to reach in my glove.
I'm about to go into my glove compartment.
Right.
You got to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do all of it. It sounds silly, but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he's doing that, you know, because he wants him to get his, you know, the registration. Now, interesting about the cop, we know he's black, but only because, you know, his eyes, you know, the top part.
Right.
Because the police in this world have to wear masks because, you know, they're being targeted.
Because of there was an event called White Night.
They was killing cops.
Right. Interesting how that flips.
And the cops are black.
Right.
Well, in this instance.
Correct.
There's plenty of cops.
But I'm saying in our society.
The cops are doing the senseless murdering.
Correct.
You know, those
are the bad cops.
Those that are bad cops.
Bad yes. cops.
The majority are not.
Right.
We understand that.
Right.
Let's not be ridiculous.
Right. There's no extremes here.
Yeah, 5% ruin it for the other 95.
Correct.
We understand that.
Yes.
So his face is covered. They all wear these yellow masks, the police force, so that they're not recognized when they're off duty in the street and are targeted.
Right.
If you're a cop, no one needs to know what you do. You need to make up something that you do when you leave work, when you leave home. So nobody knows that you're a cop. So he's got this thing and they're going through the whole thing. And, you know, what you got in the back? You know, he's asking them. He's like, oh, I just got lettuce in the back. Well, I need to go look in the back. Let me see your registration or whatever. He warns him. I'm going to my glove.
Right.
And he sees a Rorschach mask. Now, Rorschach was one of the dudes you mentioned, one of the old watchmen back in the day.
Right.
He had this ink blot, dope, real dope effect.
Rorschach pattern.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, the Rorschach pattern.
The ink blot joint.
And it depicts like
mood or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if somebody showed you a pattern and said, well, what do you see?
What do you see? In it?
Yeah. Whatever your mind comes up with.
Yeah, that's what you.
That's what you see.
So he had that mask in there. Now, that mask is representative of a member, you know, a member of the 7th Cavalry, and that is the white supremacist group.
Pretty much their clan.
Yeah.
Their Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, it's the new clan. It's the clan now. Yeah.
Right. Hence the K.
K. Yeah, because it's Calvary with a K, y'all. Ain't no. Yeah. So.
Right.
So the cop sees it and he was like, "Oh, okay, bet that." He makes a mental note, goes back to the car, and he's like, So he gets on the radio, and this is an interesting concept. They live in a world now where cops don't have their guns on them. They go, they're locked down. His was locked down in the car.
Correct.
He had to call in and ask permission to access the gun.
Because he felt
that there was a threat based on the fact that there was the Klansman Rorschach mask in the man's glove compartment. And due to what's been going on around here, he's in danger, right?
Right.
So he's like, man, look.
And to pause there, too, not to labor at, but it is interesting that that concept got communicated that, maybe that needs to be. You should not
have your gun ready to fire all the time.
Right. Right.
You need to.
It might be a little extreme because.
A little extreme.
Yeah, because you do want the cops to.
To be able to draw down as soon as possible. Correct.
But we're living in a time now where it's like the.
You can't.
Because a gun is so accessible.
Everybody.
And it's like split second, people just die for no reason at all. You know? And it's sickening, you know? It seems like there's a lack of training. It's like the training goes out the door if it's a person of color for some reason. So anyway,
so he's in the car and he's explaining to, I guess, whoever is down at the station, you know, hey, he's citing all these reasons why he needs it. And he's like, okay, well, what about this? And there's this checklist of things he's going through in order for him to say, okay, we'll unlock the gun.
Right.
He goes through this long, exhaustive list of all the stuff he needs.
And you feel the tension because it's like,
man, you need to hurry up, man, because this dude, man, ain't no telling what he's trying to do.
Right.
And so he said, okay, authorize. Buzz me, man, so I can get my gun. He buzzes it.
It doesn't work.
It's jammed. It's not coming out, man. He's buzz it again.
Right.
It's stuck. Buzz me again. He's like, man, I'm trying. So he buzzed him again, and it came loose, but my man had already came out the truck.
Right.
Blasted him. Laid him out. You know what I'm saying? And then threw a head of lettuce at him.
I didn't understand that part with the lettuce.
Well, because he told him, I had lettuce in my car. See?
Right.
Trick.
You know
what I'm saying? I just read it as a form of disrespect.
I see. I got you.
Yeah. I'm going to throw here's this lettuce you wanted to see.
Right.
You know, so bad.
Yeah.
Take these buckshots with you. You know what I'm saying? So, and then he put on his little mask, letting them know. That's how we roll. The 7th Cavalry.
We're
back for some more. We killing cops, laying them down in the street. Now, here's what's interesting. You mentioned the how everything's flipped and now the gun is locked down. You could say that those who are like NRA apologists or whatever, you know, those who are on the right are, you know, worried about their guns being taken, could argue that that's why he died. Because he didn't have access to, you know what I'm saying, the good guys didn't get their gun when the bad guy, that's why you don't lock down. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when I saw that, I thought, would they make that argument for the police if he's black? Or do they sweep that under the rug? You know what I'm saying? Like, other way around, if he had a gun, he'd been all right. But it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not that. But that's an argument that they make, right? That's, you know, those who are supposed to have it, you know, that's why we want guns in schools and guns in libraries and guns in parks and guns and, you know what I'm saying? That's what they would point to, that to justify their point. And so when I watched that, I was just like, ugh, it's crazy. But it's, everything is so bizarro that you don't know what to think. But it's a liberal society now.
Correct.
And so, you know, the president is a liberal and has been for 30 years, as we said, at no term limits. It's Robert Redford, by the way.
Right.
And they've initiated this locking down guns from the police. So it's very interesting. I would like to see some of the argument. You know what I'm saying?
I'm curious as the season goes along, like the ramifications of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then also the messaging that they're trying to
right
to portray, like, is most of the police force black?
Yeah, so, we don't know.
Right.
Because we can get to that. We saw him in the room and stuff. It's right. hard to tell.
Yeah.
And how quick they would be to kill police. They sound like they're just down to kill the police, which I don't understand the reasoning behind it yet. Like, why are they so hell-bent on killing all the police?
Yeah, there's some threads there, and we'll get into it. Mm-hmm. And I know we're jumping around, but yeah. like when we get to Judd Crawford, I'll mention something
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Judd, I guess?
Let's go and get into Judd.
Okay, so
he's the chief.
So, yeah, this happens, and then Judd, we enter a stage play. Yes. And I know we're jumping around a little
bit. Yeah, that's fine. But we can't hit everything, right?
So again, we're in an alternate universe, and we're watching a play of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. All-black cast.
Yeah, with the all-black cast, which is...
Never happened.
You know, yeah, there's plays with, you know, black cast, but, you know...
It's Tyler Perry.
It's like Chitlin' Circuit, you know, that kind of, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Or what they affectionately call as a chitlin' circuit.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. So to see this play,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just you see the audience, and then we lock in on Judd Crawford, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we find out that Judd Crawford is the chief of police. He gets out of the play, and they let him know, hey, cop's been shot.
Done.
Yeah. So
he's in the hospital.
Yeah, he gets
dressed. Because he didn't die.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's like, wow, what did he get shot with? Because he got hit multiple times.
Yeah,
like,
he got hit.
I guess maybe he had maybe a vest on.
Stuff on. Yeah, because he knows. I mean, if you're wearing a mask, you probably got on other stuff, too, out here
right.
in the street.
Right.
You can't draw your gun when you want.
Exactly. So anyway, he visits the cop in the hospital, and he seems pretty... Seems pretty loving and yeah, caring and,
yeah.
you know, not like, wow, okay, yeah. this is a cop, like this guy.
Yeah.
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 So you kind of get some glimpses of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a guy that's wearing a reflective
mm-hmm.
Mask.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a Rorschach mask, but it's just all, it's looks like a foil.
Shiny,
it's a
yeah.
super shiny reflective mm-hmm. mask. And we find out that his name is called Looking Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentions, hey, do you want to alert Red mm-hmm. and Night?
Mm-hmm.
Night being short for Sister Night. And
the dopest character in the
correct.
show.
Correct. So anyway, so we see Judd and we see the interaction. And then he, I'm jumping around. He goes to the wife and explains like, hey, this is what we're going to say. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do to make sure that you're protected.
Yep.
You know, and it's painting genuinely, the picture that it's painting this picture that like, yeah, there's some, even though there's peace, there was some uneasiness in Tulsa.
Yes.
For what we can see.
You're right.
About this. So mm-hmm. there's this protocol that they go through to make sure that the cops are protected
mm-hmm.
even after an event mm-hmm, like this and mm-hmm, their families.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the thoroughness with that. And then fast forward, and then we get to, I don't know her real, did they even say Angela? Angela Abar.
Abar, yep.
That's her name.
Yep.
So we cut to Angela Abar, and dope. she's showing a class how
career
to cook.
Career day.
Yes, yeah, career day. Day. And she's an owner of a bakery called Milk in Hanoi. Yep. And she was born in.
Yeah, it was
Saigon.
Yes,
she was born in Saigon. She was born in Saigon, which is. It also shows the parallel universe because there's not a lot of black folks. I mean, unless you're part of the military
That's
or
correct.
Something like that.
That's correct.
For a black person to say, oh, yeah, I'm from Saigon.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. It threw me off.
Yeah. So so anyway, she apparently the culture that she lived in, she brought that back to the States with her. And then, oddly enough, somebody asked her about, I forgot how it came up.
Well,
hey, we heard you were a cop.
She retired. She got to talking about, I retired and wanted to... So somebody asked you, why did you want to be a baker, a bakery or something?
Right.
Well, I had to find something to do because I had to retire. And then she just
went
all
into
off
detail.
Script. Yeah, White Knight, they killed all the police and I had to hide and blah,
right.
blah, blah. And then the
teacher
was
like, Yeah, cut that out. Like, what are we doing?
Over there, your keys.
Right.
And she's like, oh.
Which shows, which was excellent writing. Because in a scene, they were like, this is what this character is like.
Yeah.
She's going to tell you like it is. And she's no filter. Right. There's never going to be a filter with her.
Even in the, baby's classroom.
I'm going to give you the truth every single
all
time.
All the time.
Right.
All the
I'm
time.
I'm not going to spare you.
No.
The pleasantries.
No. And, no colorful euphemisms for atrocities. None of that.
Right.
Just, yeah.
So anyway, the conversation keeps going and there's.
She talked about the bakery. I opened a bakery.
Right. And then there was a white
one
kid.
Yeah, he's like, always one.
Were you benefiting from the Redford ration?
Yes. Did you pay with Redford? Did you get your bakery with the Redfordations? And she looked up at her like, what the?
Right.
Did you just say?
Right.
And all we saw was a little white kid with long hair on the other side mugging. Like mean mugging. Like, man.
Yeah, that threw me off because I was like, what's going on? Right.
And then next thing you know, little man
rushed him
and stole on him. You know what I'm saying? It was like, why the dude mad?
And then she said, Proctor. Or what'd she say? Proctor?
Oh, yeah. What is his name? I forgot his name. But he was like, wait a minute. Come to find out, man, that's her son.
Right.
I guess adopted.
Interesting.
And so they riding in the car after that.
Right.
You know, he got in a little scuffle.
Right.
Looked like he might have won the fight because he wasn't messed up too bad.
Exactly.
And she was like, man, you can't snap off like that.
Right.
And he was like, he's a racist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She was like, no, but he's well on his way.
Right. Right.
You know, so Redfordations apparently is what they have coined as, you know, the reparations, because Robert Redford is the president now. And apparently blacks have been compensated for their years of oppression.
Right.
In the form of reparations. Mm-hmm. But those who are unhappy with that, those racists that are unhappy, call them Redfordations.
Right.
Kind of like how they just make terms up.
Right.
Like Obamacare. And
right.
Stuff like that when they don't like something.
So exactly. That, we put your name on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put your name on something we don't like.
Right.
And that's the same thing. And I figure that's why they did that. Right.
Right.
Like, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, and again, love our fans.
Yes.
But for those of you that don't know about reparations.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. There was a promise of 40 acres and a mule.
40 acres.
Might not sound like much.
It was then.
But it was then.
It, 40 acres is all right now.
It is.
I mean,
it's a lot of land. It's a lot of land.
I let you keep the mule.
I sit on a half.
Man, that's what I'm saying. If you give 40?
Yeah.
You straight.
Right. You can live off of that land.
10 is good.
Right.
Like, man.
Right. You can't cut 40 acres of grass.
Bro.
Like that's, yeah.
No, man.
You got to get a company to cut
you
that.
You need a mule.
Right. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
But that was a promise.
Yeah.
And that promise was never upended. So,
nope.
So that's why there's been talk of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So apparently Robert Redford said, yeah, here you go.
Right.
But we don't. What's interesting is we don't know
the amount.
Don't know anything. No particulars. We just know that black folks got paid.
Right.
You know. And so I don't know.
Right.
So there it is.
Yeah.
So Angela Abar. Let's go and get into who she is. Right. Because as we said, the police have to hide their faces, and
correct,
they can't, you know, they at career day, they can't let anybody know who they are.
Right.
She claims to be retired,
mm-hmm,
but she's still quite active.
Yes.
To the point where she's still putting her badge right on that belt when she goes out.
Right.
As we said,
she's the agent of Tulsa police officer.
She is still active.
Yeah.
Just not to those who, you know, have that knowledge, you know, the layman out here.
Right.
And she puts in work. And they're investigating this thing, and they're in the room, cops everywhere,
right?
Because they went ahead and made the call to Sister Knight, right?
Yeah, they were beeping her.
This is the dope part,
right? Yes, so,
this is the dope part.
Yes, so they were beeping her, I guess, because she was caught up with career day. She wasn't paying attention.
Talk about
to
her the beeper, right? You know the reason.
Well, let me hold on. Okay, before we get to that,
yeah.
When her and her son are riding home
after
from school
after the scuffle.
Yeah. The national emergency broadcasting,
the horn, the siren
started firing off. You're like, what is going on? Like, is somebody about to get bombed?
Yeah.
And it just starts raining squid.
Yeah.
And she stops and squid are falling.
Yeah.
Well, actually, she hears a horn and she stops the car.
And a lot of people did the same.
Right. This is regular.
This is protocol. This is standard operating procedure.
Right. Squid start falling.
Yeah.
Really weird. Like just ooze and squid.
Yeah.
And just
everywhere.
Crap everywhere.
Yeah.
She calmly gets out.
Squeezes it.
Squeezy. It just wipes it off the windshield and then goes about her way.
Keep going.
Right. And he's like, oh, it smells. And she's now you have a nose. You know?
Get used to it.
Yeah.
For a while.
So there's no explanation of that. The only tie-in that I can think of, and spoilers, but in the events of...
Yeah. Close your ears.
Yes. In the events of the Watchmen book at the end,
I forgot the movie, Dr. Manhattan. Yes.
Somehow Ozymandias somehow summoned a giant squid to destroy the city. And I gotta read it again
because
it was such a weird deal. But that's my only reference to why squid are coming out.
And they might twist it, quite honestly. There's no telling what they'll do.
And don't quote me on that, but I know a squid was involved at the end instead of the movie.
Spoilers again.
If you haven't seen the movie, Dr. Manhattan's energy was harnessed to create bombs, and that bomb went off in New York, in Hong Kong, in the major cities, which caused. The world to come together
and stop this senseless fighting. And
so there was an uneasy peace that happened after that happened.
Because they all had a common enemy, I guess. And
Which exiles Dr. Manhattan. Dr. Manhattan was already trying to exile himself anyway. He comes back to try to help, but it was too late. He goes back to Mars. So... Dr. Manhattan is on Mars in this world. They make a reference to it in the episode. I just wanted to reference a squid. But back to Angela Abar, she gets her husband. Sorry, she rolls home, and then we find out that they have two adopted kids.
Yeah.
And can we talk about that for a minute? Did that seem? Should we even mention that or like?
They've already set a precedent that this show's backwards.
Right.
Everything, we are endeavoring to make the abnormal normal.
Correct.
And so when you see that stuff, they're training you to expect crazy.
Right.
Well, crazy, far as everything's bizarro here.
So in the real society, there are... let me phrase this. I'm gonna phrase this. It's gonna sound wrong. There are some loving people out there that adopt kids, but there's please, I want to put on record, this is not a blanket statement.
Right.
So there is a little bit of a stigma of white people that adopt kids of color. Because there's maybe a slight disconnect, and again, that is great for people to adopt whatever, doesn't matter the color.
Considering that the society we live in, that you care that much. Yeah,
correct. Absolutely. But those are discussions that happen within the black community. Like, oh well, you know, when you see like two black kids and then their parents are white, it's a weird juxtaposition knowing the history that we come from.
Right.
And it's not saying anything bad about the adoptive parents.
No.
It's just on the surface, it's jarring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so
then,
I want
to. Then once you get used to it, yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. But
yeah, cause we know some.
What is interesting is they made a point of showing this in the show.
Yeah.
That these are two black parents taking care of white kids.
Yep.
So we see, you know, the son and the daughter roll up to the house. The husband passes her a beeper and says, "Hey, this has been
fighting."
Yeah. He was also Black Manta in Aquaman.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Yeah. And he will be the lead in the new Matrix movie.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. So, I can't pronounce it. I forgot.
Excellent.
So, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, great actor.
Yep.
Anyway, he gives her a beeper. And he says, "This has been beeping all night, blah, blah, blah.
What's going on?"
And she's like, "Oh, I got to go.
Gotta go."
Yeah. So
now,
she
goes
to the bakery.
The bakery.
Which hasn't opened yet.
And she walked into that bakery and, man.
Yeah. Before she walks into the bakery, there's a mysterious
old man
in a wheelchair.
Lou Gossett.
Yeah, he looks at her and says, "Do you think I can lift 200 pounds?"
And she's like, "200 pounds?" She's like, "Whatever, old man. Excuse me. I got to go in the
bathroom." Yeah, yeah. What are you asking me? Get away. Like,
right.
What are you talking about? She proceeds through the bakery
mm-hmm.
into a locked door.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes down into like a basement or something. And
Batman
she puts on.
Style.
Right. She puts on her gear.
The black robe.
Puts
and
the hood on.
And the mask. And the, jumps into a black. It only comes in black.
Right.
The Buick Grand National.
Right.
One of the dopest cars ever created.
Correct.
My goodness. When I saw that, I was like, oh
and even the way they shot it from the top.
Oh, my goodness, that car.
Right.
The Grand National.
Right.
Man, I stood up. I was like, yeah, that's the car you supposed to drive. It's just the night. That is it.
Yeah.
And she made it to the police station. In all her glory, the knight, the sister knight of a nun,
right?
A ninja nun outfit,
right?
Dopest character in the show,
right? So she rides to the
police station,
and
they're being briefed and showing video of the
Seventh Cavalry provided
claiming,
a video.
Claiming responsibility for the recently shot policeman.
Which is interesting because it's like something that would happen during wartime. Like, we did
that. It was almost Al-Qaeda-like.
Right.
We claim responsibility. You know how they make videos and we talk about what they're going to do
and
come out with their manifesto.
Terrorism. White terrorism. This year alone, we've had terrorist attacks.
Yep.
Mass shootings.
Domestic.
All white men.
Angry.
They're not called terrorists, though.
No.
Yes. So.
That's what it's called.
I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the Klan was a terrorist group.
Correct.
It's terrorists.
But they're not classified as terrorists, though.
Yeah, but they are.
Black Panthers were. And they're terrorists.
No, they were actually providing meals for the community. And
correct.
They were depicted. That's another story. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Black History 101.
That's what's important. This is, and let me point out, I never thought that I would live in a world like, okay, on our other podcast, we talk about how when we were growing up, they're like, oh, it'd be dope if we got a Justice League movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be dope if, you know, we've gotten blessed with Marvel movies.
Yeah.
We've gotten blessed with diverse characters. We got Black Panther. Mm-hmm. I never thought Black Panther would be. $2 billion. I didn't think if they came out with a Black Panther movie, it would make this cultural impact that it did.
Right.
But it did. This show right here, I get chills because I'd never expected. Let me back up. I watched The Watchmen again. Like, I watched A Watchmen in 2009 when he came out. Okay. Great film. I got the literary.
Zack Snyder, baby.
Yeah. And I got the literary sense. I got what they were trying to say about human nature
right.
and superheroes.
Right.
But man, I tell you, you watch it now, it hits different.
Yeah, it does.
Hits
it does.
Real
and see,
different.
And see, mind you, I saw it recently. I didn't see it then.
Right.
When you see it now with stuff that's going on,
it's eerie.
Yeah,
it's eerie.
Yeah.
This show is eerie too.
Yeah.
Because there are some things that are happening in our culture now mm-hmm. that we will be living in an alternate universe if we're not careful.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this again. We will be living in an alternate universe if we're not careful, if we're not paying attention to lies, if we're not paying attention, we're not paying attention to each other.
Yes.
We're not
ignoring the
we're
truth.
Not having the dialogue with each other and understanding, you know, between mm-hmm. races mm-hmm. and just understanding our differences mm-hmm. and being able to just sit at a table and go, look, I know you feel differently. I feel differently. How can we come together and make sure?
Why can't we amicably discuss this thing?
And both both aim to have a good life. That's basically what
exactly.
it is. It's
exactly.
just everybody just wants a fair
my
shake.
Side, yeah, or, yes. or no side. That's,
right.
That's how it is right now. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want anybody to benefit except
them.
For me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
so anyway, long story short.
Right.
So
Sister Knight. Rolling
yes,
in the police.
Sister Knight. Yeah.
All the police are in there in the room.
Right.
All of them. And they all have, like, even, like, they don't even pull the mask down in presence of one another. And in my mind, I'm thinking, is that because there's a level of mistrust even?
What did the Calvary say, though? We are invisible.
That's
we
true.
We are everywhere.
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm paying attention to Looking Glass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm paying attention to Looking Glass.
Yeah, because he's the one, man, he's the only one that's going to be able to, like, root anybody out that
right.
might be problematic.
No, I'm looking at him as well.
Oh, you mean as one that might be planning. Now, he fits the description. Now, see,
yes.
I didn't expect Looking Glass to be that dude.
Correct.
I expected that guy to be straight-laced and this, you know, this almost with an English accent or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That kind of dude. That dude is from the sticks.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. like Trailer Park, maybe missing a few teeth or something like that.
But
kind of
very
dude.
Cerebral.
But yeah,
right.
but
yes.
he doesn't talk, you know, and he seems like he would fit well.
Right.
In the 7th Cavalry.
Right.
But
that's what I was saying. Like the 7th Cavalry said, we're everywhere.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
So I guess they have to take precautions,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can't
mm-hmm.
let their guard down.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So yeah. So the 7th Cavalry, they go through a speech
mm-hmm.
and there's a part where, in the Watchmen, Rorschach was always a champion of truth.
Yes.
He wanted to
he
get
was
down.
A, he was actually a good guy.
Yes.
He was just real gangster with his good.
He was, he's like the equivalent of, there's a comic book character called The Question. He has a faceless mask,
mm-hmm.
and he's always looking for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this conspiracy theory kind of
mm-hmm.
thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to try to find the answer to this long, winding conspiracy
mm-hmm.
theory.
Mm-hmm.
Rorschach was kind of that dude. Like, no, there's something afoot here.
Right.
I'm going to find the truth.
Right.
I'm going to investigate
real,
this.
Real
and
delving
be,
into.
Yeah,
yeah
I'm going to do
detective
work.
Yep.
And then I'm going to write a journal.
Right.
About
he chronicled everything, dude.
Yes.
Like that dude wrote down everything.
Right. And at the end of the Watchmen book, he leaves the journal
mm-hmm.
with a newspaper called The New Frontiersman,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
on the surface you're like, oh, well, it's just like a newspaper, but it's
mm-hmm.
more like it's kind of like The Enquirer, actually.
Yeah.
If you really think about
it. Scandal sheet kind of
right,
stuff.
Right. Right. So anyway, so long story short, the Calvary, Rorschach makes a statement about the politicians,
the whores,
the moral filth
right.
of the city.
Mm-hmm.
They would look up at him and say, save us. And he would whisper
down and whisper,
say
no.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he said that. I need to read the book again to really get the context of why he said that.
I mean, I got the whole quote here.
Right.
You know,
go ahead. Break it down.
All right. So this is the whole quote, right? Dog carcass in alley this morning. It's twisted in the show to say
cop
in
cop carcass cop on the carcass street.
On the street in the evening.
Right, because he shot the cop. Because
he shot the guy at night. Right. Tire tread on burst stomach. This city is afraid of me. I've seen his true face. The streets are extended gutters, and the gutters are full of blood. When the drains finally scab over, all the venom will drown. Now, that part was kind of left out
right.
of the thing. But here's the part that you mentioned he says. And because really the only thing he switched was the police part and all that stuff with the dog carcass and stuff. The accumulated filth of all their sex and murder will foam up about their waist, and all the whores and politicians will look up and shout, "Save us." I'll look down and whisper, "No." That's what he was saying. He was like,
right.
But they twisted the words of someone who was actually looking for justice, trying right. to establish justice, and turn it into this white supremacist manifesto.
Correct.
To where they're killing police.
And justifying it by using his words
that were used to try to exact justice.
Right.
And like I said, if you read a book and see the movie, you'll see, man, Rorschach, he not a bad guy.
Right.
He gangster, though. Like, if you on the wrong side of the law, he going to put you down. I mean, you know. But he was a moral guy.
Right.
You know? And he was actually my favorite character
right.
in the movie because he was awesome, man.
And that's the scene in the book where the guy kills the girl. That's where his breaking point was, where it's like, look, I was soft on criminals.
Yeah.
Until I met this guy that right. killed this girl and, yeah. and like chopped her up and left
right.
her.
Right.
And exactly the guy admitted, that. Like, yeah, I did it. Take right. me in. Right. I'm going to plead insanity.
Right. Nah.
No, not today, nah, sir. No.
Death.
Not today, sir. No. Death.
Sentence. Death.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sentence. Nah, death.
We're over that. He's right. like, the Punisher. Like, I don't got no.
Right.
Yeah, no, there'll be no court proceedings.
Which is an extension of like how bad human nature is. It's yeah. that bad yeah. where a superhero has to go.
We got
to
kill
no,
him.
No, I have to put you down.
Right, because
you will continue to kill and do this.
Yes, we can't
and cheat turn the system
you into the authorities
and cheat the system, all that stuff.
Yep.
So anyway,
too many loopholes.
Read the book.
Murder.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It paints a bigger picture, but mm-hmm. but anyway.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So now, my man's in the hospital.
Right.
He's gonna come out.
Right.
Apparently, but now the business at hand. Of I guess finding no.
So what was so dope about Sister Knight? Like, we thought that she went I'm sorry. She didn't go directly to the cops.
No.
She went to a trailer park.
Yes, I skipped that.
And she drove right
that
in.
That's correct. Before she went to the police station, she's like, I think I know where
they're going. I smell
white supremacy.
Yes.
White supremacy.
And they're over here.
It smells like bleach. Drug that dude. They fought for a minute.
Right.
You know, but she laid some folks down. And that's where you learn she nice.
Right.
Nice with the hands and real good choreography. She
right.
Best character on the show.
Right.
Right now, I mean, after one episode, I'm all in on Regina King.
Right. Can I point something out in that scene? When she was in the trailer park and she knocked the guy out, right?
Yeah, you talking about
she took a moment to look at a poster.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to tell you this, guys.
Okay.
So, like, Damon Lindelof is known for having these twists and turns in a show.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point where she stared at this this poster, and it was of... There's a character called Dollar Bill, but he was a white guy in the movie and the comic, the graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
But the poster showed a black guy as Dollar Bill, which I found really interesting. So it's like, is this a parallel universe, or did something happen?
Yeah.
Or like, did something get flipped? Like, there... Was there like real life, and then like the way it, I hate to say this, but the way our society is now, and then it got flipped?
Yeah.
Because it's like she looked at this poster and she just stared at it.
Yeah.
And the only thing I saw was, oh, that was odd. Dollar Bill is a black guy. And the story on Dollar Bill is when the superheroes started coming, started rising.
Yeah.
The first vigilante was Hooded Justice. He had like a hood and he had a noose around his neck. And he was in the Watchmen movie and in the comic, but he was the first vigilante.
Okay. Okay.
After that came Dollar Bill. The department stores said it would be great if we had a superhero that was a security guard at our department stores, hence Dollar Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because here's a write-up on your boy.
Right.
Dollar Bill on a racist National Bank poster.
I didn't read all of it.
I thought where you going with it was because the imagery was so Sambo-like. Like, the dude was looking like crazy. Okay. So,
I just focused on the dollar bill. I totally missed the point. Oh, I didn't see that.
So, okay. Says one of the original Minutemen, Dollar Bill, was a mass hero sponsored by the National Bank. Dollar Bill.
That's sad that I missed that. Was orchestrated
as a publicity figure. Someone intended to signify an extra layer of protection over customers' money and drum up good press for the bank. He was eventually shot during the bank robbery. Mm-hmm. The poster we see on the wall in the 7th Cavalry hideout is from his publicity days, or depicting a smiling dollar bill dragging out a black man by his shirt.
Okay.
Keep the riffraff out. The shirt on the poster reads, "Our banks are clean and safe and family oriented, and we keep the riffraff." Okay, that's what I saw. And keep the riffraff out.
So was Dollar Bill black?
No. Okay, so I was mistaken. So a black man is being drugged out of the bank.
By a black superhero.
By
Dollar Bill?
Yeah, a depicting Dollar Bill dragging out a black man by a shirt. So Dollar Bill was apparently white.
Okay, see, like the shading, it looked like he was black.
Yeah, it did. That's what I thought, too.
And I just saw the movie and he was white. Right. I mean, he was a white guy.
But apparently he was dragging the blacks. We keep our banks clean.
I gotcha. Yeah. Dirty our banks up with this blackness. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's why she's probably like,
okay. See, I need to watch that again because I was like, oh, is he black? Like Dollar Bill, not the.
I thought he was too.
See, okay, I focused on that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Because now that makes sense why she focused on that.
Yeah, she's like, oh, that's. Come on. That's terrible. Right. But it would be in a 7th Cavalry's trailer.
Correct.
Park.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trailer home.
Yeah.
So she drug that dude out.
Right.
Beat him up. And then she went to the meeting.
And then she said,
"Oh, by the way, I got your boy
in the trunk." And
he's
like, "What?"
She's like, "What?" Yeah, he smell like bleach. That's how white supremacy smells.
Right,
like bleach. Let's put him in the.
And he was still like, "I'm not sure about this. I don't know. We're gonna do it." Yeah,
because like you said, she no nonsense. She's right to let you know early.
Right,
put him in the pod. Let's go. Get my man Looking Glass in here and run him through the thing.
Right.
And, you know, the interrogation, they give you an idea of his intense interrogation. And
mm-hmm.
Now, explain to me, they learned that the dude, you know, where to find these members of the 7th Cavalry based on his testimony. But he maintained throughout that I don't know nothing about this. So
right, but
is it the imagery around him?
Yes. Yeah, so okay,
that's telling off on because even okay, though so, he's saying one thing,
right? So Looking Glass, the purpose of his mask mm-hmm. is to. It's like a reverse Rorschach almost. It's mm-hmm. kind of like he's looking like the guy is looking into the mirror,
mm-hmm.
but. The guy is the mirror.
Yeah.
So he's looking at every twitch, every facial expression.
Right.
I can ask you a question, even though you're saying, no, I don't know anything about him. The twitches and the stuff show it. Okay. You're lying.
Right.
And he said, look. And when he came out of there, he said, look.
Yeah.
He's admitting to nothing, but he showed enough cues to say, yes, he's.
So how did they determine where they were?
They take him, and she says, "Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry for the behavior."
That's
and
right.
she
that's right.
she beats roughed
him up. Yeah,
she
that's
roughed
right.
him up.
She beat him up. And he bled out.
And right. And then they said, "Yep, they're over here."
why didn't they just do that before? Oh, because they needed to make sure that they weren't beating up some dude that was telling
right.
the truth.
Right. Correct.
There it is.
Right.
I love this show.
Right. So fast forward, they're in this like field.
They said they had a cattle farm. Let's go get them.
Right.
Man, the cattle
farm. So they rushing them. Ooh, and
man, they saw them coming.
Yeah. And
they, them boys are prepared too, man.
Right. They had Gatling guns.
With the shields and everything, Rambo style.
Right. And they were chewing up cattle. She was hiding behind a cow.
Slaughtered. I mean, cattle is just dropping. They had, man, and Peter going to be on them. They're going to have to put that little thing, this disclaimer. No cows were harmed in the field.
Right.
Because, boy, lot of meat laid out on that farm.
Right.
And, my girl is fearless.
Mm-hmm.
She made her way up there through the gunfire and all of that. And sewed them up. And then two tried to get away, man. Two got away, got on a biplane.
Mm-hmm.
Little raggedy plane, but they got off the ground, and so
looked like the same biplane that was used in the 20s.
Exactly. That sounds like, shoot that down. You know what I'm saying? But that
garbage.
But they got off the ground, and then my man Crawford and some chick. Who was this other chick?
Her name is Pirate Jenny.
Okay, well, Pirate Jenny was flying the thing.
Yes.
The thing that looked eerily similar to my man Night Owl's joint.
It's Archie.
Yeah.
They call it, it's short. It's Archie, short for, I forgot the longer
name. I know what you're talking about. But it looked just like my man Night Owl's thing in the movie.
Like a future version of it.
It just looked out of place.
Right.
You know, like no one's flying.
It had police markings on it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Like, how do you not know about that? But they, you know, managed to shoot that down. But they, you know, they had to risk a lot because my man was like, "Go faster!" And as a result, they exerted too much power. They shot the plane down. They got them.
Right.
But then they crashed in the you know, as a result. But they came out all right.
I'm gonna put my Reynolds Wrap foil hat on.
Okay.
Do you find it odd that Judd was like, "No, we got to kill him. Kill him." Like he seemed very impulsive. Like she was like, "Wait a minute, what are you doing? Like I'm chasing after him."
Yeah,
but he was like, "No."
Yeah, he wanted. He's like,
"I need to torch the earth."
Yeah, yeah.
There's something that we're going to find out about Judd.
Well, how are we going to find out about Judd? We need to fast forward.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it.
Unless Judd.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay. We'll stick a pin in that.
Yes.
What you said about that? They had a good laugh after. Yeah, everybody
that's my tinfoil moment. Okay, I'm gonna just put it. Okay.
Okay.
After watching the show twice, I'm like,
okay,
you feel like this is interesting.
Okay.
He
wanted him to die though. He
also made a and to go back to the police meeting, they made a motion. We didn't talk about Panda.
Because I still don't know what's up with Panda dude.
So apparently there's a character that works for police force. His name is Panda. He's wearing this dirtiest
panda mask. Helmet,
mask
ever.
Thing. Black guy.
And
he's like, there's rules and regulations about, we can't.
About allowing access guns. to the guns.
And apparently he's an irritant to the cops because they're like,
we need these guns, homie. Yeah. Is that the one he called?
Yes.
That's
he
the
said
guy.
Panda. He's like, Panda, oh crap. Oh, man. Like, I got him tonight. Yeah. So
Panda don't want to release the guns.
Correct. And then they make a motion to free the guns and Judd says, it's going to be my funeral.
Mm.
He said it just like that. Yeah, he said it in passing.
Yeah, he was like, well, I'll die on that sword. Dude. Right. Basically, if something happens, then
it'll be my. But I think there was some weight to it.
You think
to
so? Me,
I think so. I thought could
he
be
was
wrong.
Just admitting that he.
True.
He made the call, and if it's wrong, blame me for it.
It could be.
That's how I took it, but could who knows? Be. I mean, the way HBO, they'll throw a curve. Ain't no telling. There may be more to it than that.
Right. I find it interesting that all the cops cover their face except for him.
He is the only one that walks around freely, unafraid.
Correct. Unafraid. That's odd.
He don't care. He never covers up.
Something don't seem right.
Nope. He put on.
Yes.
He even goes out with his uniform to meet the wounded policeman.
Correct. No mask.
He's like, no, let me. I need to put on my uniform to go see him.
Right.
You know. Put on his uniform to go see his wife.
And the wife says something interesting, too.
Yeah.
He likes you.
Yeah, he likes you a lot. He talks about you all the time.
What she's saying is, I don't particularly like you. Something about
he like you.
He like you. So, okay.
So, you just cool by association.
Right. Okay. I'll just say that. Those are I'm laying my case out, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. The pagers thing real quick. Now, this is a world, no internet.
Correct.
No cell phones. There's no cell phones.
Wow.
That's why they use those pagers. There's no internet because, spoilers, as Rose mentioned earlier, the Cold War was averted as a result of the common enemy, you know, that the world had. So there was no need for the internet. It was never created. There's no internet. There's no cell phones. No computers. None of that.
Hmm. So there could be a lot of isolated incidents happening in this universe.
Absolutely.
A lot of stuff popping off and people don't, other people around the country don't even know what's going on.
But HBO.com put this little thing out. I sent you that link.
Okay, yes.
And one of the things.
Please elucidate words.
Yes.
The audience to this.
I'm going to pull this up because I sent this. It's a really long article. So what I will do.
We'll post it on the episode.
Absolutely.
Yes. Send me the link.
Yes. Yeah. It's HBO.com/PTpedia. PETEYPEDIA.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a host of links. One of which being Memo, the computer, and you.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is this, you know, it's fictitious or whatever.
Right.
But it's a memo from the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, letting everyone know that we will add a new tool to the crime-fighting repertoire called the computer.
Right. What's cool about
you
that?
You will use the computer
right
to help facilitate the solving of cases and combating of crime in the streets.
Right.
Computer's not even a thing.
Right. Well, what's cool about that is they're echoing what the Watchmen, the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you read the book,
mm-hmm,
there's
mm-hmm.
these pages that just random, like memos, old
exactly.
memos.
Exactly.
Dossiers.
Exactly.
Things like extra, it's extra material to expand the universe.
Yes.
Past the story.
Right.
Which is awesome.
So go yeah. out there. We will
yes.
post it.
Yes.
So you can read this. And there's other stuff too. There's a journal, the Rorschach's journal.
Right.
And then a newspaper clipping an article detailing the death of one Ozymandias.
Interesting.
Basically this long, because he's presumed to have been like just missing, but nobody wanted to declare him dead. So they're in this little memo, they're saying, oh, he's dead.
Yes, Adrian Veidt.
This long, kind of like an obituary, and highlighting all his achievements and accomplishments and philanthropy and all the right. stuff he's done. And
speaking of which, mm-hmm. should we talk about yes. Jeremy Irons' character?
Yeah. It
kind of okay. looks like Ozymandias.
Yeah, but they're not saying for sure.
Right.
He looks like someone, you know, of the age that he would be.
Right. Now. And of wealth as well.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. We don't know where he's at, though. He looks right. like he's overseas somewhere.
Correct.
You know, chilling in a castle. Dude's living in a castle.
Right.
With servants, two servants.
Do you find it odd that Dr. Manhattan he built a castle and then destroyed it?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know what. We were talking about that at work. Like, what is he doing?
Right.
You know?
It seemed odd. Like, I built it and then,
crashed it down. Right. Yeah. I don't know what Dr. Manhattan's doing.
Yeah.
He's the most OP dude in any universe anywhere.
Right.
Like, seriously, that guy, dude, yeah, that guy is something else.
Right.
And the only way you can take him off the board is make him. He you have to write him in such a way with it where he wants to go.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Because right. if he decided, you know, but he's this guy that believes, I mean, and if you
he watch. He can see the future. He sees all possible futures.
Right, but yeah. he is not in his wiring to try to change it. That's right. not what he's for. He just knows what's going to happen.
Right.
It's not for him to alter.
Right.
And so he doesn't use his power in that regard. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The dude is dope. In the movie, he just walks around naked, full frontal nudity. Mm-hmm. He don't care.
Right.
He's godly. He don't care.
Right.
He's great character. He Between him and Rorschach in that movie, they were the scene yes, stealers.
For absolutely. Me.
So to the Judd again here.
Yes.
Weird
juxtaposition between if we're getting off of Oxy or off of Jeremy Irons' character.
Yeah, we did
that whole
scene. Yeah.
It's a juxtaposition from juxtaposition from Tulsa to like this.
Yeah.
Just crazy. Just
he's
rich.
On the rolling hills of
France
Ireland
or something.
I don't know where he's at.
Right. So it was so out of place.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It almost looked fake.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
He's sitting up there naked.
Yeah, and his servants seem like robots, but they're not.
They seem like they were programmed. Like right. They weren't human.
Yeah, like can't get the recipe right for cake.
Right.
And celebrating his birthday, and he's like, I'll
this
eat
cake
the cake.
Is boo-boo.
Yeah, he gave him a horseshoe instead of a fork.
Yeah, you know, like what? Yeah, man, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll figure out this guy's deal.
Right.
Soon enough.
Yeah. But Judd.
Judd. Now, you highlighted the fact that Lou Gossett Jr.'s character, the little boy from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
grown up, old, in a wheelchair, and inquiring.
We're assuming that he's a boy.
Well, he had the note.
That's
watch
right.
Watch this boy.
Exactly. That's
he
right.
He had it
That's
on right. him.
Yeah, at the end. Yes. At the end.
So he had, they didn't show that
they didn't
until
show
the
that
end.
To the end.
Because my girl got a call in the middle of some coffee.
I knew
coffee
you to,
break.
You noticed the coffee.
The
don't
coffee
you?
Break, but they stopped the coffee break and she filled Sister Knight and her husband, and she filled a page. No, it's a phone call. This was a phone call.
Yeah,
and this guy is on the other end talking about, you need to come on out here.
Don't wear your mask.
Don't wear that mask. I know where you are. I know who you are.
Angela.
Right.
The names are
by
name.
Yeah. I know who you are. Come on out here.
Right.
No mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, is this one of those Klansmen folk?
Right.
But it's old dude.
Right.
In the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Holding the old sign, the little note.
Right.
Watch this boy from 1921. Which is kind of, we assume that's him. And now my man Judd is strung up. Oh,
right.
Lynch style.
Before you get to that.
Lynching style.
Before you get to that.
Okay.
After the call. Why did I cheer when she got on the bed?
Oh,
hit the bed board and grabbed
the shotty. And the shotty came out, and then she grabbed the sidearm and said,
out of the fireplace.
Husband, listen.
Out of the fireplace.
Listen, if anybody roll up other than me, shoot them, kill them. I'm out.
Peace.
Right.
I was like, what am I watching?
Right. I'm in love with that woman.
Yes. What am I watching right now?
Goodness.
I was like, she has a compartment in the bed.
The bed
for that work.
Like, boom. Ready for that work. Yeah.
My wife said, I bet you sleeping is interesting amongst any other activities
right,
as well.
Right. You got to be careful.
Maybe that's why they were, having
over
coffee in the
else
closet.
Coffee.
I don't
they
get
have
shot.
It over there. It might get your head blown off.
Right. Man. Yeah.
But yeah, so she rolls up to the old oak tree that the guy says, meet me by.
Right.
And there's Judd all strung up Lynch style.
Right.
Judd.
Right.
The guy you said that is got some stuff going on.
Right.
He ain't got much going on if that sticks.
Right. Well.
What's your theory?
The reason. Okay, so I don't really have a theory.
He's
but,
dead.
But. On the surface, it looks like, okay, man, black dude's wrong. He laid out the razor wire for Judd to trip
he
on.
He did. And, yeah, because he was driving. Judd was driving.
Right.
And I forgot about that.
He flashed a bright light.
Yeah.
And he did the same to Angela, and she was like, turn that off.
You know, like, right.
And he was like, he's like, what did he say? He didn't even say, what did he say?
He didn't say anything, dude.
He didn't say anything.
He didn't say nothing.
Right, because he already told her.
All he saw was the sign.
Right. And her facial expressions, like,
oh
as
goodness.
She's walking up and she notices it as Judd, she's just like,
oh my God.
Well,
and then dude.
Yeah.
From outside my bakery.
And
200 pounds
again,
hung up.
Geek moment right here. the camera pans down Judd.
I know, yeah.
And then the badge is there.
Yep. With the Watchmen blood
drop on it. And the Watchmen blood drops on it.
Absolutely.
And it's basically going, here's a story.
Yep,
here we go. And like, and this is a reference to, if you go back to the graphic novel,
yep.
The comedian wore this
a smiley face.
Joint, this right? Smiling mm-hmm. face.
Like a badge almost.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the comedian represented somebody that was deplorable.
Yeah.
But
got he that work did, done.
But he also had a truth to him.
Yeah.
Where he was like, this is how the world is.
Yes, deal with it.
Yes.
And this is how I'm going to deal with
right.
it. And you should right. probably get
I'm
going to
have a sense of humor about it. This.
Exactly.
Yeah. So hence I'm the comedian.
Joker-like.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to be a comedian because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Hence the iconic image graphic designer here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, the iconic mm-hmm. image of the button mm-hmm, with the blood mm-hmm, splat mm-hmm, on it. It mm-hmm. says volume. So mm-hmm. you have this police force that has, you know, we've seen how this police force is set up
mm-hmm.
and then you see that blood, that Watchmen blood mm-hmm. splatter on it.
Indeed.
I mean, this show, I'm in and, yeah. and it's only, I think this is only 8 episodes, guys.
Oh, is that right? Oh
yeah. We're going to get a lot.
A ton.
We're going to get a ton. We're
going to get good 7-8 seasons out of this.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Oh, come on. It's HBO. They ain't going to cancel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what the numbers are on the first episode. I didn't look.
Yeah, look.
Yeah. It has to be good because the chatter.
Man.
And there was a revelation that there was a lot of folks that did not know about Black Wall Street.
Yes. But are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. If I didn't know until college? Right. That's what.
Can you imagine?
Right. Not in the curriculum.
Yeah. Our white brethren, they didn't.
They were like, what?
I mean, and I'm not blaming them, obviously.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You're only, you know, aware of that what is put in front of you, man. You know what I'm saying? If it's right. not put in front of you.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah.
And if you look, that imagery, man, like, it's disturbing. Like, if I was to watch that episode, I don't know if I could go through that part again. I would probably, but I could. Skip it. You know what I'm saying? Really.
But that paints a picture that and I hope that anybody that watches that scene that's not African American can see the gravity of
how
when I was watching the scene, I couldn't catch my breath. It was
man, look at
right.
Like, this is crazy. When is this gonna end?
Right. Right. And then, you know, you When moments like that in history happen to a culture, that gets passed down
mm-hmm.
psychologically,
mm-hmm.
whether you realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, I didn't experience overt racism like my parents did.
No.
Like, my dad told me stories about how he had to sit in the balcony of the Orpheum in Memphis.
Yeah,
and he had to go through the back entrance
mm-hmm.
to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't understand how they can walk through the world now and not have a huge chip on their shoulder.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that walk around and they're like, they understand that happened, but they still are able to walk the world. But we have people that feel like their territory is being approached upon, mm-hmm. so I'm going to shoot, mm-hmm. I'm going mm-hmm. to be racist, I'm going mm-hmm. to do, like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Take a step further, though, man. How do you, I mean, can you imagine how, like, people like your dad, my mom, they're in an alternate universe. Or your grandma.
Right.
Who see us and look at us like, y'all don't even know.
Don't even know.
You don't have any idea. You're just going through, which on one hand, they're probably glad that they can do that, but that we can do that.
Right.
But wonder if whether or not we truly appreciate what it is we have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Not that we living in a utopia, because it's still a mess.
Right.
But compared to what they had to deal with, it's like, there really should be some respect paid and some reverence, you know what I'm saying, to those Correct. Who had to deal with stuff like this, you know, like you're saying, the repercussions that were passed down, you know, the psychological repercussions that
But were even added. The children, even like when we look back, like for example, I was born in 75, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Our right to vote was like maybe 5 to 6 years before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's crazy.
You know, like, this is how recent, like, even though, like, yeah, 1921.
Yeah.
That's, so, I mean, that's only 50 years from mm-hmm. when I was born. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it's not ancient history.
Correct. So I'm saying all that to say that, like, I know these moments in history that happen to our people, and then we see the current climate now mm-hmm. where the rhetoric is spinning off again. Mm-hmm. And it's and what's interesting about this show, if you look at the Watchmen universe, it's almost like, is history repeating itself?
Mm-hmm.
We had a moment. The world's out on the brink of extinction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then some event happens and then it stops. The clock gets turned back. It's mm-hmm. not, we're not in mm-hmm. the, like they kept showing the nuclear clock, the doomsday clock,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
So they turned it back. They turned the clock back. Okay, we got reparations, blah, blah, blah. Now we're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the same is happening in our society too. Like there's a lot of rhetoric happening. Look, there's impeachment things going on with Donald mm-hmm. Trump and stuff. I, you know, we had to be careful out here, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that impeachment goes off, like, we have to be careful. You know, like, there's people out here that are going to be hurt by that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and, just by anything, because everybody's so ultra-sensitive and takes everything so personally, man,
right.
rather than looking at, like, the reason behind anything's being done. And like sometimes some stuff may be done, you know, because they have personal vendettas too, you know,
right.
and might you know, put the mask of justice over it. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, it goes both ways, man.
But it's a paranoia. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like in terms of black people, like there's a paranoia because we know how history plays.
We know
out,
how it works. Yeah.
And we know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how it works even in this time where we're free.
Right, because they were free.
And we also know that laws can change
That's right.
depending on who's in power
mm-hmm.
and can be tweaked.
Not as overt, but
not as overt, but
the wording.
They can be tweaked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we see that happening in our society? I'll pose the question and
watch the show and watch the news.
Watch men.
Yes,
watch.
Men.
Please.
Yes.
And women.
Yes.
And watch us.
And watch and listen.
Yes.
EST 1982 podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And
thank you for listening and watching this podcast.
Holler at us. Yes. Yeah. Holler at us. We got like I said, we've added this to the hopper of a podcast in our network.
Yes. This is the fourth one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to all of it. If you're interested in any of this geek culture stuff that we have going on, please hit us up. That website, that lovely website, Mr. 1%.
Thanks, man.
EST1982.
Working on it now.
podcast.com. It's dope. It is dope. Go out there. And you can listen to us on any medium that has podcasts, that you can listen to a podcast. It don't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes. Well, it was Apple Podcasts, not Google Podcasts, Spotify. All of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, we're excited.
Yeah,
this show is HBO. So, yeah, we got at least 5 good ones in here.
Yeah.
At least,
right.
So we plan to be here for some years, and we plan to be, you know, we hope to be the source for all your Watchmen needs. And just please interact with us. Let us know what you think. Anything that we might have missed. Give us your opinions.
Or if you have any questions, you need us to answer.
We will do the very best that we can do. Believe you me. So again, man, thank y'all for hitting us up, joining us on this Watchmen journey. So until next time, the next episode, we can't wait to see what's going mm-hmm. on with my man Lou Gossett in the wheelchair. Yeah. What's going on?
A lot to be explained.
Yes, sir.
I think they're going to stretch that mystery out for a while. You ain't going to know something.
Nah, we'll figure it out.
Right.
But until next time, we'll holler at you.